What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode number 460 of the Action Movie Guys podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and my co-host is...
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are starting a new franchise, which means we have to start a new alternate to go with that franchise. In this case, we're going to be doing some Nicolas Cage action movies. Now, he's not in a ton. He's got some adventure films, which we'll do later, National Treasure, and he's done some action movies. We're going to go through three of them over the next few episodes, starting off with 2002's Wind Talkers. Now, this, and I'll do my fun facts and everything in a minute, but this is a John Woo-directed war movie. Alex, had you ever seen this? Had you ever heard of this before this viewing?
All right, you already know when it comes to war movies. I didn't even know Nicolas Cage joined the brass of people that does that action. I think if you are action star, you got to do at least one war movie. I mean, right? If you think about it, if you look at any big action star,
they've all done them.
They're in a war movie. I can't think of one.
The Rock has not.
The Rock? Yes, he is. He was G.I. Joe.
Oh, I guess if you count that. Then.
Yeah, he's a military person. Okay, if you count
that, then yes, you're right.
Yeah.
All the other ones, remember Chris Hemsworth, 12 Strong? We watched that. 12 Strong,
yep. Steven Seagal?
Steven Seagal? Which one? All humans are.
I gotta clip that. That is one of the funniest faces.
All his movies are war movies. Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris, Missing in Actions and Delta Force.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, was he in a war movie?
Yep.
Expendable. Is that a war movie? Not really.
Well, no, because they're like a mercenary. Like Stallone hasn't done a war movie.
No. Nope.
I don't think he did. No. He played a lot of cops.
Now, Schwarzenegger, he played military multiple times.
The Commando, Predator one.
Predator. Yeah. So I feel like you're right. In the great pantheon, you have to do a war movie if you want to be super legit. Nicolas Cage, I wouldn't call him super legit as far as action goes. But hey, he's in this war movie. Now, okay, so you've never seen it. I figured that. I just wanted to get that out the way because I know you're not. You know, the funny thing is you're not into war movies. And every time we watch one, you like it. So maybe you are into war movies. You just getting around to it late. You're a late bloomer with the war.
It could be like my DNA. You know how people say they like you're an old person at heart when you start to get older. Maybe you unlocked the DNA for my old person gene.
I mean, maybe, you know, because I distinctly remember saying you said I don't like war movies, and so far you've liked almost all.
I never disliked it.
You liked all of them.
I liked them all. They were all 24s and 25. I don't think I went below.
Yeah, it's true. We were soldiers, 25. The other one, and we haven't done like Saving Private Ryan. There's a bunch we have not done.
We did Pearl Harbor, and I enjoy that. Midway, I enjoyed.
That's right. So anyway, this is a new one. Now, let me give you some fun facts and then the Rotten Tomato scores for this movie. Now, a couple of fun facts about this movie. This is, of course, like I said, John Woo directed this, a Hong Kong action legend, did a bunch of movies over there, came over here to the U.S., made, of course, Hard Target, an action movie guy, stamp of approval movie, Face Off, Broken Arrow, right? Paycheck. Mission Impossible 2, which the funny thing is the Blu-ray cover for this says from the director of MI2. Out of all the movies that he did, that's the one that they picked. That's the one that they picked. Whatever. Now, this movie initially was supposed to come out in November of 2001. However, due to the September 11 attacks, it got pushed back almost a year to 2002. They didn't want it too close together. It literally was supposed to come out 2 months. November of 2001, it ended up coming out in June of 2002. I'm sorry. Now, this movie was filmed in Hawaii, most of it. And if it looked familiar at all, it was because it was on the Kualoa Ranch, which you may not know by name, but they filmed the TV show Lost, Godzilla 2014 film there. And of course, the amazing classic Jurassic Park, all filmed in that same ranch area. You could go visit. They do tours, like ATV tours, where you could ride around and see where all the movies shot.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, so they shot that here. This movie was initially rated NC-17. Now, they had to cut 21 minutes of footage to get it down to rated R. There is a director's cut DVD available, and there is also a Blu-ray, I think, from MVD. They put out a Blu-ray that has the director's cut. That is 153 minutes. The version Alex and I are doing are the theatrical version, 134 minutes, so a little over, 21 minutes shorter, but apparently it was even more violent, and the movie's kind of violent, even the R-rated one. So
makes sense.
Yeah, I don't even know what's in there that made it NC-17, but
I mean, whatever. It could be a lot of beheadings and a lot of body parts, because John Woo is like known for showing.
I mean, the first 5 minutes of this movie, that guy gets his hand chopped off when he's got the gun. He's like, with the sword. Anyway, the last thing I wanted to mention was John Woo talking about this movie. And this is kind of interesting. He said, the main themes of Wind Talkers are friendship and understanding. Unfortunately, the studio, which was MGM at the time that produced it, wanted a John Wayne movie. So they wanted a typical American hero film with explosions every few minutes. I had to make them understand that that wasn't the story about heroes. So it's a story about a man and his own demons trying to redeem himself from war. I made the movie that way, but some people in the studio didn't appreciate it. And in the end, I guess neither did the audience. This was a notorious failure at the box office. Had a $115 million budget, only made $77 million worldwide. So a flop and a movie that John Woo said he really liked and still likes a lot, but kind of didn't hit with audiences. And you could tell that from the Rotten Tomatoes scores, Alex, because this has a 32% critic score and just a 50% audience score, which, I mean, it's half and half for audiences, but it's not fresh on either one.
I'm very shocked.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you find these numbers kind of...
I'm shocked with the critics because this looked like a critically acclaimed movie. Like, I thought the critics would be all over this and the audience would be at the 32.
Oh, okay. So flip-flop those, basically.
Like a flip-flop. I would have been like, oh, yeah, that's kind of, yeah, but this is kind of shocking. At the end of the day, I think it's shocking.
Yeah, this was a first-time watch for me as well. This is one of those movies that I have. I own it. And I knew of it. It was always kind of like floating around. And I'm familiar with it. And I know the story behind it. And I know John Woo. And I know like Adam Beach, the Native American actor that's in this. And like I know the whole premise. I just never got around to like sitting and watching it. So that's part of the reason I put it on. So that we can both do a first time watch here. So yeah, let's get right into it. Now, this is... and I'm interested to see what you say here on this. So the lead character is ultimately Nicolas Cage. He plays Sergeant Joe Enders.
Okay.
And is kind of co-lead Adam Beach, of course, Native American actor who plays pirate Ben Yahtzee. I don't even know. It looks like Yahtzee. I think it's just Yahtzee though. Yeah, as the code talker Native American guy. So take it away. What did you think?
Okay, so I felt like Nicolas Cage was miscasted in this. I could see why, because back then he was a hot commodity. Nicolas Cage is still a great actor. I don't know in terms of this movie. I think if it was like another actor, it would have been. To me, it would have been way better. But with that said, we have Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage is actually really good in this movie. I just wish it was someone else. But for me, what I got from him, I kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I gave him a 4. I was going to go with a 5. I mean, technically, I could go with a 5 because technically the Indian guy did a great... I mean, they were all good. You had Christian Slater. I mean, they were all good in this movie. Like, all the supporting characters were good here. Even your boy, the lieutenant. Which
Peter
is like
Stormare.
Yeah, he was really good.
They got a good cast. Again, Jason Isaacs is in this. Peter Stormare, Christian Slater, Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, honestly, I'm going to score a 5 because besides Nicolas Cage is the lead. That's who we're talking about. Like, I would give him a 4 because I thought he was really good. He got injured in war. And, you know, he fell in love with the girl, the nurse that was taking care of him. And then she helped him pass the test, you know, cheating and all that. And then he wasn't as crazy with the Indian guys because he was doing his job. But then towards the end, you know, he felt for them. Like they're part of the team too. So like, it's a cool concept. I thought it was pretty cool in terms of the characters, but in terms of a nutshell, yeah, I'm giving them a 5 because honestly it's a group effort in this story. And I thought it was really cool. And I love the Navajo guys. They were really good. The other guy too, him and Christian Slater to me was the better part of the characters. I felt more for them than Nicolas Cage and his one. And I don't know if you agree with me. Like, you ever seen like those movies that when they force a partner upon someone, they always do stupid shit? And then you go, really? Like when he was doing with the food, he dropped the coffee and then he spilled the coffee in his food. Yeah, I felt like you didn't need to do that to have their like banter.
To start them
or something.
Off on a rocky,
exactly.
Know, rocky footing. Yeah,
yeah. Like me meeting you like at Disney, and I drop your drink. Like you're gonna fucking want to punch me in the face. Like you're not gonna be like,
yeah,
we're
you
friends.
Drop my drink and then pour your drink on my mac and cheese.
Yes, and you're not gonna like grab my food. You're literally gonna punch me in the face. Like, bro, I just paid for this. Like, you know. So I didn't like that. So I would have like deducted that if it was just them two. But I kind of liked the Christian Slater's character and the other guy because they felt like more, you know. I mean, to me, I felt more attached to them than those two, but I get it. But I gave it a 5, though. I think the ensemble of the group, I thought they were really good.
All right. Whoa. You know what? I gave them a 3. You said something just now that really I agree with 100%. The fact that you kind of enjoy or feel more attached to other characters than the main characters is kind of like, yeah, for me, it's like a little bit of an issue. Like, okay, if I'm following these two, I should like these two that much. And I will say, I do like Adam Beach's character, Ben, the Navajo.
Yes.
Yeah. The mistake here was not making him the lead.
Yes.
The mistake was making Nicolas Cage the lead.
Christian Slater should have.
They should have switched. If they switched him, I would have gave it a 5. I'm not even lying. Because I liked him. I like the stuff when he's like talking about his son, even on that, you know, like that scene is great where he's writing the letter and the niggas, he's like, put it away. Like he's getting mad at him. And he's like, hey, I wasn't going to send it. Like I was going to read it to him when I get home. He started talking about his family. He says his son's name is George Washington, you know, and the wife. And I think it's a great, I think it's a really good performance, but I think it's a more interesting character than what they gave Nicolas Cage to do. When you kind of look into that John Woo quote about it making them wanting him to make a John Wayne movie, that's kind of like what Nicolas Cage is. Like he's just army guy. You know, yeah, he falls in love with a girl. They don't really show it. Their love is based off he got up and walked that one time and then she helped him cheat on a test. That's literally all you get as far as like their relationship. I wish they did a little more. Remember like Hacksaw Ridge where Andrew Garfield and the girl like in the beginning? It's only like 15 minutes, but like they set up where you're like, okay, they fall in love. Here it was like a little whatever. And then Nicolas Cage is just sort of, I agree with you on that too. I think he's miscast. I don't dislike Nicolas Cage as an actor.
Yeah.
I don't think this was the role for him. I thought Christian Slater was actually good. I wouldn't have minded him playing the main guy. Can he do the tortured veteran guy? I don't know. But either way, that character should have been a side character to the Navajo. So that's why I gave it a 3. I don't think it's bad by any means.
Yeah.
But I think like Ben gets a lot of screen time, but he's still technically not the main. He's not the main star. Like Nicolas Cage is the one that gets the heroic moments. He's the one who saves him at the end and then dies sacrificing, you know, like that whole thing. Whereas that, to me, not that they had to kill the Native American guy, but like he should have been the main star. So a little bit of a missed opportunity there, but I don't disagree with, I agree with almost everything you said.
I think you're right. And that's the thing, like I was saying, I felt like I was more attached to Christmas. Like you're right. They should have flopped.
Yeah.
The reason why I was attached to Mortal Christian Slater's, I always like the characters that defend those guys. Like, for instance, like when they were picking on them and they were playing poker. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I always like those characters because you're like, bro, you don't need to be a dick. He's helping you guys out. It's not like, like, what do you want this guy to do? And I know it's based on whatever real story, whatever. But I was just like, I felt more for those type of characters where Nicolas Cage didn't help the guy, even when the guy was like picking on him in the water. And that's what pissed me off. And I don't know. Yeah. Again, I know this is acting or whatever, it's a movie or whatever, but it got me really tight because I'm like, you have to protect him and you have your own men making fun of him, punching him, and then these guys are fighting. Whereas Christian Slater wasn't even in those scenes because you could feel like if he was there, he would have interfered. He would have been like, yo, bro, what the hell are you doing? Like, he's part of the group too. So that's the thing. Like, I can see the differences between the people between those. And I guess that's why I was leaning more towards Christian Slater. Like, I got really tight when they killed him. He got beheaded.
Yeah.
Like, son of a bitch. Like, why? You know, but I get it. But yeah, I agree. I would have, again, I went the ensemble route.
Yeah, 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 of course.
And a 3, and I guess 3 or 4, I agree with you. I would have did Nicolas Cage at a 3 too. Like, I kind of make sense.
Yeah, he was miscast. Yeah. He didn't.
Totally.
He was like so solemn and quiet. And,
he was doing a Nicolas Cage acting.
Look for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an over the top kind of person.
Yeah.
Let him do that. And I think he's better.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But either way, but I did like Ben's character a lot. I wish he was the main star.
Yeah.
Okay. Villain. Now, okay. The Japanese are the villain because it's a war movie. And we're not saying Japanese people are villains, but in this movie, we are following the Americans. They're the villains. And also that guy, Noah Emmerich's character, who's just a racist, the one who fights him.
Yeah.
Because he says he looks Japanese and then he fights like, I thought he was Japanese. I hated that guy so much. He's annoying in every movie. He was annoying in Pride and Glory. Annoying. I mean, he was supposed to be the good brother. He's still annoying. And he's just annoying. Okay, so what did you think of the villain?
They were good. I mean, again, so this is the problem that I have with war movies.
Yeah.
Certain war movies I could give 5 to. Because you have, they're up front, right? You get to see more of their strategy, what they're doing, and, you know, how they're going to combat stuff. Like, We Were Soldiers, I gave it a 5 because you saw, I mean, they did everything. They
had that one general guy who they kept showing.
Yeah. And they showed him giving strategy. So I gave the 5 to that. You know, Pearl Harbor, we gave it a 5 because you got to see them plan.
They won that fight.
Yeah. So you can't give them a two because they literally did their you know, due diligence, went to attack. This one, it's really hard for me to give a high score. While they were formidable, they were good. I mean, again, this is war, but in terms of movie logic, they were doing villainy things, but we wasn't following that sergeant that was telling them where to go. Like, a perfect example, towards the end, when they were going up the mountain, right? They told them to go up the mountain and they all get ambushed. I can't go, this is a five, because I wanted to see it from their point of view. Someone going, you know, saying whatever. And so with that said, I gave them a three.
Mm.
I thought they were good. I mean, again, they were perfect for the war thing, but I think in terms of villainy-ish, I mean, throughout the whole movie, they're getting bombs and everyone's running towards them and shooting. So it's kind of hard to be like, oh, this is a four, two, a three, or two. But
yeah.
I thought they were good. Oh, well, no, you know what? Scratch it. I give it a four. I thought they were great. I think they were great. I don't think they were perfect because I wanted that one villainy guy. Yeah. And then the douche. I'm not going to go crazy with the douche because he did it like in a few two scenes. And then when the guy and him, like, they became friends once everything. So that's just a dick. In the dick meter, he's a five.
Yeah.
But in terms of villainy, I'm going to give him a four. I think a four.
Fair. Great. Yeah, I have the same score. I have a four. I agree with everything you said. And yeah, We Were Soldiers was the exception because they freaking destroyed and that guy was like super evil. Here, like, they're an obstacle. Obviously, they're formidable. They kill a lot of guys. Kill your boy Christian Slater.
Yeah.
But then there's also like other obstacles because then you have that racist guy that's an obstacle to Ben. And then you also have that scene where the Americans are doing friendly fire. They're shooting their own guys.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what the heck? How did this even happen? But then they got to be, got to pretend to be Japanese and take Nicolas Cage to the other side. And so I agree. I gave it a four. It's tough. It's hard to do war movies. Usually it's like this. You have your good guys, which is usually the Americans. These are Hollywood movies. And then you have the bad guys, which are the other ones that they're fighting. And to me, a five is literally if they win or if they have like a head guy that you're like, oh, this guy. Every time they show this guy on screen, I hate this guy. Even if he doesn't do much and he's leading the evil army. You don't get that here. But they kill a lot of people. They kill a lot. You know, they're defending their land. Nicolas Cage dies. So, I mean, I guess they killed the main character. I'm still not going to give him a five, though. I give him a four. I agree with you. All right. I think I might know where you're going to go with this. Action scenes.
Oh, that's a five. I was going to go with a four. But at the end of the movie, I was like, you know what? John Woo. Okay, one thing that John Woo does is, like, sometimes does this slow motion shit in John Woo movies that, like, irked me. And birds.
And doves.
And doves, yeah. This movie didn't have doves, and it didn't have slow motion. So, for me, he used his directing chops, and I was like, you know what? That is his forte, his action. And he did a hell of a job in the action sequences. The ambush scene looked fantastic. The only thing that was wonky was them keep running into the building trying to get the guys and they were shooting. Like, to me, I was just like, oh, that's so comical TV shows type thing. But again, when they invaded the town, I thought that was pretty cool sequence. I mean, that caught me off surprise. I mean, this damn thing was so loud. When the bomb went off, I jumped. I was like, whoa, what the? Like, it really caught me off guard on that one. Even when they hit the guy with the flamethrower. When they shot him in the bag and he blew up, I was like, oh, damn, he saved the kid. I thought that was a cool shot. I mean, there was a lot of cool sequences. The beginning with Nicolas Cage, them getting ambushed, and then he jumped on a grenade or whatever, threw a grenade and he got hit with it.
He goes,
Mass motion.
Just gets like, he looked like that thing landed on his face and he just got like a little scar here and like on his.
That's how hot it was.
Yeah.
That he got hit with like debris. It
just burned him a little bit and he's deaf. I thought he's dead. He should have died.
He's,
in the beginning of the movie.
My thing is, they would have never put him back in war.
No.
After that. No.
They just give him that little ear test. He's like, all right. He could hear.
You're going to have the most important job. You're going to take care of this Navajo guy.
These guys know the secret code. They cannot be captured. They're very important. We're going to put this deaf guy on. You're going to guard him. Okay.
Imagine he would have said, what? Like, what did you just say?
Good.
What's the mission? No, all jokes aside, the action is spectacular in this film. So I'm going to give it a five. I thought it was shot very well.
Yeah, I agree. I gave it a five. I think when it comes to this, John Woo, you're right. He doesn't rely on most of his Hollywood sensibilities where it's like, because not all his Hong Kong movies have that, but they started a lot with like Hard Boiled and the Chow Yun Fat movies. And there it was used. It was cool because it was new. Like that wasn't common. By the time he got to Hollywood, it was not new anymore. Like now everybody, like John Woo was so influential that then him making movies seemed like he was copying other people, even though they copied him, if that makes sense.
No, no, it makes sense.
Yeah. So he almost had to like come up with something different. I wouldn't say this is different, but he does not rely on the slow motion. There is a lot of, especially early on, like there's like a lot of handheld camera work, which I liked. Like it makes you feel like right that first opening action scene, like he's like whoever the cameraman is right in there with the camera when the dude's like chops off his hand and the camera cuts it. I was like, this is not like a normal John Woo action movie, but the level of just, I mean, so many people die in this and it's almost all practical. Stuff's exploding, stuff's being set on fire. There is some CGI. They said that some of the planes, there's a scene with some of the planes, but I mean, whoop-de-doo, it looks fine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but what everything else, like the tanks, they blew them up, they set them on fire, they did all this stuff. So, and there's stuntmen getting put on fire, which, you know, we saw recently Ballerina, and there's a flamethrower scene in that, and it's amazing. But this got some good flamethrower scenes, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Really good. So I give it a 5. I think the action, and this is going to be weird to say, because we're an action podcast, but almost to the detriment of the movie, the action's the best part of this movie. And I say that in like, there should have been other things that were better.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the action is what sticks out the most. It's really good. It's really, really good. So if that's what you're here for, you'll get it in plenty of it. And apparently that director's cut's even more violent. So maybe seek it out if you like this one. It's even more gory than this. All right, let's get to the storyline. What did you think?
Okay, so when it comes to storyline, I kind of liked it. I don't know. I liked it. I gave it okay, so hear me out here.
Okay.
Okay? I gave it a 5. Not because of Nicolas Cage. We're taking all that out. I kind of like the premise of it. Now, again, it's real. I mean, supposedly it was real. So
it's true, yeah.
Yeah, so if it's true, so I kind of liked it that they used the Indians because of their language. It sounds like a code. I think that's genius. I mean, to be honest with you, I think it's genius. They never got to crack it because they never caught an Indian. So I think it was genius. I liked the way the story was told. I wasn't bored. I was really into it because I was into the side characters more than the main character. But towards the end, I got into it with all of them. Once they got ambushed from the last 30 minutes is you really get into it because they get ambushed in the town and it goes right into them going up the hill because they have to see if they were out and they weren't. But I kind of digged it. I thought it was pretty cool. And I love the scene with Ben doing his Indian thing and telling his son that he's going to tell stories about Nicolas Cage's character and all that stuff. So I thought it was great. I thought it was perfect. For me, I thought it was a perfect movie. Now, again, I'm not saying this is a perfect movie, Hollywood winning, you know, Oscars and all this screenwriting stuff. I just enjoy the story very well. I thought it was really good. So I gave it a 5.
That's great. I think John Woo would, if he heard you right now, he'd be like, see, this guy got it.
I reached out to him.
All right. I did not give it a 5. I gave it a 3. Oh. I do think it's good. And where I 1,000,000% agree with you is, I think the premise is great. I don't think the execution is great. That's the only thing that kind of hampers it for me. But I think the story of the Native Americans, you're right. How would the Japanese know what the heck they're saying if they don't speak English? The Japanese can learn English, but Native Americans speak a language only Native Americans speak. That is that Indian language. They don't know it. So, you know, they have to capture one. I like the idea of if they capture them, the guardian person like has to kill them. It leads to some, well, let me say this. It should lead to some like more suspense. Like, oh shoot, will he do it? Will he not do it? We do find out because Nicolas Cage.
Well, no, Christian Slater does it first.
Right. Christian Slater does it. But we do find out because Nicolas Cage doesn't do it, is what I was going to say. He does not. He never does it. But, and he wouldn't have. He saves him, if anything. Which, and that's my problem with the story is, again, we're stuck with the hero we should not have had. Instead of the hero we should have had. I don't know. I felt torn because I don't hate this movie. I agree. I think it's pretty good. I just think there were some changes that could have been made. Some flippity flops.
But I totally agree with you. Because like Nicolas Cage's character wasn't one-to-one with his boy. Like Christian, see, the thing that got me was so mad with Christian Slater. Right? Hear me out. The reason why it got me so mad was because Christian Slater and his dude were playing music together. He learned the guy's. Yeah, he had the harmonica. The other one had the Indian blowing pipe, whatever the thing is called.
Yeah.
Yeah, the flute thing, right?
Yep.
And they were bonding. So, like, for me, I'm like, damn. But, like, even it got to that sentimental moment when he was about to get captured. He goes, you know, I got to kill you because I can't let you get captured. But then he decided not to, and he saved them. But then Nicolas Cage was the one who had to throw the grenade.
Nicolas Cage blows him up.
Yeah, he does it worse. Right?
So, and like, that's our hero. And he blew him up.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he had to. That was his orders, but.
Yeah. So, like, for me, I felt like you're right. It was the wrong hero. It should have been Nicolas Cage getting killed with his guy, and then Christian Slater saving the day.
Should have blown him up.
Yeah, they should have blown. Yeah. Like, I thought that shit was the worst. I was like, damn. Yeah. He was just like, it's okay. You could throw it. I was like, no way. Like, don't throw it. Let them capture me. Like, I was like, you know.
Nope.
Like, I don't know. I agree with you, though.
It should have, like, I feel like there should have been more scenes, though. Like, it should have been more scary. Like, are they going to capture one of them? And are they going to be able to kill him? And Christian Slater couldn't do it. I liked that one time it happens, but I feel like I wish there was a little more of that sort of, not cat and mouse, but like that suspense of like, are they going to get
him? And that's why you needed the villain, because right. Then with the villain could have said in Japanese, we need to capture. We need to
capture those.
Those two guys we have to bring in to break the code. And then when we're like, ha ha, and whoop, so there you go.
That's all factors in. Could have been better.
You're right. You're right.
For me. But it could have been a little bit better. I think I like your score. You kind of get you like the overall theme.
I like the overall theme.
Yeah.
Again, because if we break this down, then I'm be like, oh, well, like even there's only two of them.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it could have been way more of these guys. Like,
I mean, maybe there was with other groups.
That's what I'm saying. But like, we were focusing on these two.
Yeah.
Well, they had more in the test when they were taking the test, and these two were the most fastest to crack the code, the friends. Yeah. So, again, like, in the long scheme, perfect. I think it was, again, the execution of everything, I thought it was perfect. But I think in grand, like, the whole grand storyline, to me, I thought it was perfect. But if we break it down like you, I totally agree why you gave it your score at that. Okay.
All right. Very good. Overall, what is your what's your overall score for this movie?
So overall, I really like this movie a lot. And again, it's not up there with the We Were Soldiers. Like the ones that we did that really stuck out to me that I was like, wow, The Patriot with Mel Gibson, another Mel Gibson movie that I really dig The Patriot. I really dig We Were Soldiers. There was another one that we did. I was like really into it. A war movie. It was another war movie that we did. I gave it like fives because I was like, this is like amazing. But anyway, I don't feel like it's up there because the lead character, right? Mel Gibson was one of the leads in We Were Soldiers, because that was an ensemble. I mean, amazing ensemble. Then The Patriot, Mel Gibson, or Heath Ledger.
Like, what's his face? Andrew Garfield in like Hacksaw Ridge. Like he was like,
did we do that movie?
Andrew Garfield.
No, I'm saying, did we do that Hacksaw Ridge?
I don't even think we did that movie yet.
I don't even remember. See, we did so many.
We did it for Mel Gibson director spotlight.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I remember it. Like that movie.
But that's a lead character that like you want to follow. Yes. You don't want him to die. You want him to win. You know?
Like even when he like, and that is a lot of like the way Mel Gibson shot that movie. It was very suspenseful because the minute he starts picking up people, I mean, dudes could snipe him. Like these dudes were. So again, there was a lot going on for you to be invested. This movie, for me, phenomenal movie. Very great, but Nicolas Cage was not the lead for me. It was not. And do so, I gave it a 4. Mm. I think it's a great movie, Nate. I'm telling you, if this was played by any other person in 2002, mm-hmm. I don't care who it was, but not Nicolas Cage, I would have been like, this is a 5. I would have gave it a 5 off the bat. I would have been like, you know what? Because of the storyline, leave every other character. Just change Nicolas Cage to somebody else. I don't care if it was even Heath Ledger playing the damn guy at this time. I think I would have given it a 5. So, yeah, I gave it a 4.
Okay. Overall. That's fair. I'm trying to look. In 2002, 23 years ago. No, that's, I mean, I agree. 23 years ago, who would, I feel like they needed someone who was like a little older than Nicolas Cage.
A little older.
Because, you know, they said that thing of like they wanted to make a John Wayne movie. I feel like John Wayne was always old. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's true.
And if they would have got someone who's like, all right, look, you're about to, this is like your one last mission type of thing. This is your one last hurrah.
Ooh.
Who was like 45 in 2002? That's what I need to know. I don't know, but they need to be 45. That would have been a better lead.
Well, we got to look at old legends.
You got to look at someone who's like 70 or 60 something now, and then have them play it 20 years ago.
Who's an old legend that you go, man,
I don't know.
Well, Nicholas, I mean, Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, but character. I still think, like, even that. Everything, well, yeah, he would have been in his 40s, but Mel Gibson would have been good. Yeah, and Mel Gibson, I agree.
And everything.
And Mel Gibson would have been good.
Gerard Butler.
Who? No, not Gerard Uncle Butler. Jerry. Uncle Jerry.
Uncle Jerry, no.
Yeah, okay, look, here we go. Top male actors in their 60s. These are people who are now 60. Okay, well, apparently the first one that comes up is Nicolas Cage, so maybe he was the right age, but he just didn't. To me, he didn't seem it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Woody Harrelson.
Nope.
Russell Crowe.
Oh, he has that Australian accent. Did he ever play an American?
He can do American good. Russell Crowe.
Okay, we'll put that on.
Mel Gibson is on this list. Brad Pitt is on this list.
Okay. Brad Pitt, I can see.
Because he was great in Fury.
I can see Brad Pitt. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can see Pitt. I can see the Pitt now.
Was that the war movie you liked a lot? Fury?
That's what it was in the tank.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, that was a really good. And you know what? I'm an undercover David Ayer fan. I think I'm noticing that.
Eddie Murphy, he's in his 60s.
No, no, no.
Tom Cruise, nope. Keanu Reeves.
Nope.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to see if there's any more actor. Like,
I think you said it right. Brad Pitt. I think Brad Pitt.
Gary Oldman. No. Kevin Bacon. Nope. No, I love Kevin Bacon, but no. Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen might be pretty good.
He could have been really good for this role.
He could have been good.
Jason Isaacs, who was in this movie.
Could have played. Could have played. Wait, but he has that roles. Villain face, though.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a villain face. Yeah.
George Clooney. No, I think we got a couple of other. Oh, my boy. Here it is. This is the perfect. Ooh. Forrest Whitaker. The greatest.
You know, it's funny. You could do Denzel.
Denzel could have done it.
Yeah. Easy. It doesn't have to be a white
anyway,
guy.
They needed someone a little more seasoned, is what I even though Nicolas Cage apparently fits the age bracket, I didn't feel it. Okay. I gave the movie a 3. I think it's good.
Overall?
I think it's good. I think there's flaws. I think it's like one of those movies that's like good but flawed. You know what I mean? And the action holds it for me. Like the war scenes are really good. And the Native American, like Adam Beach, I really like him in this. Like I could watch it for him and his performance and his sort of, you know, just, I love even that part. Like it's pretty towards the middle maybe. And he's like, you know, like, why are you? Like, when the guy, I think it's when he's like bullying him or whatever. And he's like, why are you here? You know, whatever. He's like, I want to fight for my country. You know, like, it was their country first. So, you know, the fact that he's still willing to do that, even with all that Native Americans had to deal with, even to that point, I liked him a lot. I just wish he was the main. It just irks me so much that they didn't do that. But I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it's good. And there is a certain entertainment value to it with John Woo directing. Well, you know, with the action scenes and it feels very big and stuff like that. The score is pretty good, too. Who did the score? Is it James Horner, I think, did the score for this? I think he did. I'm pretty sure it was James Horner. But anyway, really good music as well. Well directed. Good cast. It has a lot of good things going for it. So, yeah, but at the end of the day, I feel like it was a missed opportunity to be a great movie.
You're right. James Horner is the
James
Horner.
Okay, yeah, he's good. Yeah. He does good stuff. Anyway, 3 for me, 4 for you. What's your total points?
It's a 23 out of 25. My first war movie that's under. Because we did Tears of the Sun. I like that one, too.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. Yep. And we didn't even do Hearts War. I don't think we did that one.
We have
right?
not done that. That war month, I think, was Tears of the Sun, Fury, 12 Strong, mm-hmm. something.
There was
else.
Another one. Yeah. Something. But anyway, with that said, I think this is the first one below. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, we got more war movies in the future. Don't you worry. As a matter of fact, I have a whole list of war movies that we have not done, including Hacksaw Ridge, Glory, Platoon, Defiance, 1917, American Sniper. And done any of those movies. And that doesn't even go back to old movies like Battle of the Bulge and the Green Berets and all those kind of movies. So there's plenty that will be coming in the future. What is your total? Oh, you said 23?
Yeah, I gave
23.
This
an 18.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm at 18. I like it. It's good. Could have been better. Okay, here's what we got coming up. Next, Clash of the Titans remake will be the next episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast that you will hear. And then the next Nicolas Cage movie. This is a Nicolas Cage classic. I think when people think of Nicolas Cage, this got to be one of the top 3 movies that come to your head, and that is going to be a 90s gem, Con Air, starring Nicolas Cage and the great John Malkovich. So we'll be doing some Con Air as well.
Yeah, I have not seen that movie in ages.
It's not one that I rewatch.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've seen it twice, and both times I was like, I like this movie. I just don't rewatch it, but it's good.
Yeah, he has like the long hair and the tank top. Yeah.
There's a long hit. Yeah, he comes out. It has that song. What was that song from the, is it Leanne Rimes was on the sound. You know, this was like in the 90s when like Armageddon had that Aerosmith song. All these action movies had like this love ballad. I'm pretty sure Leanne Rimes did the one for Con Air.
Is that
I'm
the one? You're the one I want.
No, that's Shania Twain. Oh, okay. I think it's How Can I Live Without You?
Or how can I live?
Yeah, it's that song. I'm pretty sure that's from Con Air.
You sure? I don't remember that song for that.
All right, I'm going to go with 98%. Before we hang up, let's let the people know. Let me just say something.
Is it
music? The film featured the Diane Warren penned Leanne Rimes hit single, How Do I Live?
Oh my God.
Now, it was performed by Trisha Yearwood for the movie. But I also think Leanne Rimes, I remember her version was the big one. So yes, that movie is from this.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
It really fits this movie, let me tell you.
That you knew that it was the main song of the song.
Why would these 90s action movies have these love ballads as their...
That's true. Aerosmith was like, I don't want to close my eyes.
You know why? Because this movie came out when I was like 10 or 11, and I remember the music video. And like it had Con Air clips in it. I was like, what the heck? He's there with the long hair, flowing in the wind,
holding the bunny. Put the bunny back in the ball. No, it's gonna be. That's gonna be great. All right, guys, thanks for hanging out with us on this Action Movie Guys podcast episode. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Geeks and Flicks, for reviews, unboxings, and more. You can also follow us on Instagram at Geeks and Flicks, and make sure to follow the podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. And remember, don't just watch movies, live the action.